Welcome back, everybody, to the Good Old Hockey Podcast. This is episode number 48, two away from number 50, the big half century, whatever that is. But we got some spicy news this week. It's been kind of slow to start the season. I feel like we kind of been pulling at straws, but this episode wrote itself today, honestly. We had enough talk about that we didn't really have to pull too much out of our arse. Quick reminder, I got a nice little jacket on right here. Visit our shop, settledown.store. Use code Use code GOHP15, Good Old Hockey Podcast 15. You'll get 15% off your order. Got some cool shirts, got some Sharks themed stuff if you're a Sharks fan, just like me and Alan are. And that jumps into what we're going to be talking about. Alan was back in San Jose the last, 24 hours ago?
Yeah, less than. Yeah.
For the Joe Thornton retirement, number 19, NHL legend, Sharks legend. Great to see him. Great to see all the players kind of come back. Teary-eyed Joe Thornton was wanting to make me teary-eyed. Had to keep pinching myself. But, Alan, how was that? How was it there? You had boots on the ground. You were there.
It was a great event. I went to the Patrick Marleau jersey retirement. What was that, two seasons ago, which was also an awesome event. So I kind of already knew what to expect coming into it, get to see all the old names and faces. And it was really cool. They had a bunch of seats out on the ice for a bunch of the old players, family, friends, stuff like that. And then they had a few guys behind him. I just want to say Ryan Clough, Dougie Murray, Joe Pavelski and Patrick Marleau were all sitting behind him. Got to hear some good speeches and great stories about Jumbo. Just an all-time class act. One of the best players in NHL history. It was an awesome event. It was super cool.
Yeah. Best playmaker of all time. I'll give him that. I mean, it was really cool. It's just a take. That's a normal take.
That guy was nasty.
Yeah. They were showing some replays of him. I forget because we were pretty young when he was in his prime. Obviously, I have memories of him. But to like kind of look back and like see those highlights, I'm like, damn. Like, yep. Impressive. Especially for the time that he played in. Made Jonathan Chichu a 50 goal scorer.
He's insane.
Yeah. And Chichu was good, but I don't think
so. Beyond just the hockey, you hear so many stories about him.
Yeah.
And it's like, you could tell, you know, everyone who ever met him loved the guy. Mm-hmm. It's hilarious. There's clips of him messing with the Sedins, Vancouver.
Yeah.
Like there's some great clips of that guy. It was really cool to see.
Yeah. I think my favorite quote is from him. Talking about, the media asked him after Tomas Hertl scored 4 goals, and they were like, oh, you think he was like showboating a bit? And he was like, if I scored 4 goals, I'd have my cock out and I'd be stroking it.
He said something about that during his speech.
Yeah, I heard that.
He was talking about a bunch of different guys. He goes, Tomas Hertl, I got one thing I gotta say. If I scored 4 goals in a game, I'd still do that. It was pretty insane. I'm pretty sure everybody in the stadium was laughing.
Yeah, it was cool awesome. To see. His number go up. Obviously, the Sharks lost. They're 0-2 in retirement games. sums up pretty much what we've been about the past 2 years, 3 years, four years. Yep. But you know what? We're on the struggle bus, but it's okay. We'll get to the Sharks later. But overall, like, you went to the game. How was the game, like, just in general? It was packed, huh?
It was. So it was a sellout crowd, which is really weird for Sharks games nowadays. I showed up. I probably got to the arena at like 2:15-ish, and there was already, it was already packed. They had like a whole like teal carpet event out front where everybody walked in, and there was a bunch of stuff to do. I didn't really do too much of that because I was mainly looking at jerseys. Little Macklin Celebrini jersey.
Nice.
But it was pretty cool. Packed house. There's some good energy there, especially during the ceremony. Once the game started, it was a good game up until like the second period, and then it was all Buffalo from there. Wow. At least for the most part. James Reimer made an insane behind the back save. I don't know if you saw any of that. Huh?
Who was the one that shot that? Was it Mac?
I think so.
Yeah. So that's what I saw. It was like him just kind of like baffled.
Insane. Why didn't James Reimer do that?
Yeah, for us. Probably because our defense sucks, but
or for Florida or for Toronto in that game where they gave up the 4-1 lead.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. There's a lot you could ask him.
Either way.
Yeah, that jersey. James Reimer. Yeah. Jersey's pretty sweet.
Pretty sweet. Yeah. Still Adidas, which is cool. Didn't have to buy a Fanatics jersey. I refused to buy a Fanatics hockey jersey. The ones Oh yeah, they were way cheaper. They were like, I want to say they're like $180 for like their second model of the line. There's like three different jerseys you could buy. And then they had the on ice, like authentic one, which they're selling like for $400. Yeah, $425, something like that. I'm like, for a Fanatics jersey, that's kind of ridiculous. I highly doubt it's the authentic one that they make at the factory in Toronto.
That's what they claim.
But yeah. Either way, super cool experience. Very fun. Got a cool little puck here.
Nice.
It's going to be backwards on the screen, but Jumbo Joe 19.
Yeah.
Pretty neat.
Yeah. No, that's cool. Yeah. Honestly, salute to Joe Thornton and everything he's done for the Sharks. I got one little thing right here. But yeah, I think it's pretty cool. He's housing Macklin Celebrini right now too, huh?
Mm-hmm. Gonna turn that kid into a beauty.
He already has.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
Macklin is, what was that stat? It was kind of crazy. It was like most puck battles won by forwards in the NHL.
That's kind of ridiculous for an 18-year-old.
It's an impressive stat. No matter how like nitpicky it is.
But that's still an important thing for, you know, an 18-year-old kid just getting in the league. Obviously, he's a bigger kid. He's like, 6'1", 190 pounds, something like that. Yeah. It's like you can expect it a little bit, but he's still going up against, you know,
he's still 18.
Guys who are 6'5", 6'6", and weigh 220, 230.
Exactly. Dudes that are men, that have men strength on them.
Yeah.
And years of weight room experience versus Mac. Yeah. So impressive nonetheless, but we're going to jump into some headlines here. Coast to coast, we have some sad news about Alex Ovechkin.
We jinxed it.
We did. We apologize. Last week we were pumping his tires. And he is now out to 4 to 6 weeks with a fractured fibula. He went down, I want to say like the day we recorded last Monday. Mm-hmm. He scored two goals and we were like, oh my God, Ovi's got two goals already tonight. He's going to break it by January, February. Then we hit stop recording, and like 20 minutes later, he goes down with a broken fibula. So, you know, shit happens. But maybe we'll reverse jinx this, and he'll come back a lot quicker now because we're talking about it.
I'm hoping so. I'm really hoping so. That was kind of this is a scary situation. Jack McBain didn't look intentional. I think they just kind of were skating opposite directions and collided.
Yeah, it's one of those plays that you can't really avoid. It just kind of happened in hockey. 39-year-old Ovi goes down. I think this is the longest he'll have been out with an injury.
Mm-hmm.
For I don't even know, probably his whole career. I mean, I feel like
pretty sure it's his entire career.
Wow, that's crazy. And it's only 4 weeks, which really isn't that long. Playing a month of hockey.
It's kind of crazy that you look at that and you're like, this guy's actually been a rock his entire career.
Yeah,
he's not missing any time whatsoever.
I mean, he's only really missed because of lockouts and COVID. Like, that's the only thing that's really ruined. And he would have already broken it by now if it wasn't for that. But
absolutely.
Obviously, it's not how it works in the real world. But my question to you is, do you think he's still breaking that record this year?
Yes. I'm going to say it.
Okay.
I think so. I think he comes back. I think he comes back strong. He's going to be pissed off. He's already going to Washington Wizards games and walking. True. He looks mostly fine. Mm-hmm. Drinking beers at the Wizards game, that was awesome.
Yeah,
it's like sparkly ball. I'm saying he's gonna come back fired up. Hopefully they play. I don't know when the next time Washington plays Utah is. I don't know if they've already played them twice this year, but hopefully he comes back, gets a hat trick on them, and keeps the ball rolling.
Yeah. Of course, it's the Utah hockey team, too. The team has caused so much controversy with fans and fandoms, and now they are hurting the greatest goal scorer ever of all time.
Great way to endear the NHL fans.
Yeah. I think the timing obviously sucks, but the shitty part is he's like the hottest he's ever been in his career at this point in the season. And then he goes down with an injury. And it's like, how can he bounce back if he comes back swinging hard? Then I'll say, yes, he's going to break that record. But if he comes back and has a slow start, I don't know. I don't think like he's got to like come back and score a goal. Well, at least one.
He is one of those guys. Obviously, this is an older Alex Ovechkin we're talking about, but he is one of those guys where we've seen in the past he goes through cold stretches in the middle of the season.
That's fair.
And then lights it up and scores 20 goals in the last 20 games.
Yeah.
So it's something that's like, I don't think it's unrealistic for him to come back, maybe have a little bit of a slouch for, you know, a couple weeks, a month, and then get right back on his horse. This might be wishful thinking, but I'm hoping he gets back to it.
I think it's fair. I mean, I don't think he's out for the count yet. We'll see how serious the injury is and hopefully doesn't get extended at all. Mm-hmm. But I would really, really enjoy to see that record being broken this year. And I think he was gunning for it. But, you know, it's how the world works, and sometimes shit don't go your way. Often like our next person on here, Connor Bedard. Connor Bedard right now has 3 goals, 12 assists in 21 games played. That's 15 points. Now, there's a real thing called the sophomore slump. Everyone goes through it in every sport. And I've seen some stuff in the media about him struggling, or, you know, I'm not going to discredit this, but people have said that Macklin Celebrini is better than Connor Bedard because of everything that's going on. I don't want to put that argument to bed, because it could happen, and I'm not going to prey on that downfall. But my thing is, like, I just don't see that Connor Bedard is actually struggling. I think he's also by himself in Chicago, whereas, I mean, Macklin's a rookie too. Like, this sophomore slump is so real. Like, it happened to Johnny Gaudreau. Mm-hmm. It's happened to countless people, and I think it's tough. Also, 15 points in 21 games as a 19-year-old. If that's a slump, then God, my beer league stats are just, you know?
Yeah, I think that's something people tend to overlook.
Yeah.
Because he came out flying, right? Looking at it right now, 22 goals last season, 61 points in 68 games, right? As an 18-year-old. Yeah. Obviously, the expectations were set this year.
Yeah.
That he is capable of that. I think he kind of screwed himself with that simply because you set those expectations so high. And I think that's why the sophomore slump is seen as a thing. Yeah. Is like, you're a rookie. You're all juiced up. You made your dreams come true. You made it to the NHL, right? And you're a consistent player. You're one of the best players. You're one of the best young players in the world, probably the best young player in the world. Come out flying, then you have these expectations, right? There's more weight on your shoulders now that you've showed up. You've proven you can be the guy on a team in your rookie season. Now you're expected to be the guy again. And it's not even like he's playing that bad, at least stats-wise. I can't say I've caught a Chicago game this year.
Yeah.
So I don't know if he like looks lost on the ice or what, but the results are going to come.
Yeah. He had said in an interview that he felt like he was just kind of out there and not really doing anything. Mm-hmm. And I think if you're playing for the Chicago Blackhawks, you can definitely feel that way a lot of the time. So I think it's unfair to put, he's also 19 years old.
Yeah.
19. You know what I was doing at 19? Getting drunk.
Yeah.
In college and getting kicked out of dorm. Like, I was not, you know, like, he's 19 years old. And like, I also think the development in the NHL, you know, you can rise all you want throughout the juniors and all that stuff, and then coming into your first NHL season, you get adjusted. After that, it's like, where do you go from here? And like, I feel like that's kind of the hardest battle. So, I mean, if he just keeps working, and he's got a great work ethic from what I've heard, but if he keeps pushing, I don't think this rough stretch is going to last very long. And again, the guy's got 12 assists in 21 games playing on the Blackhawks with no one. He has no one with him supporting cast. Macklin Celebrini, I think, not that the Sharks are a better team, but I think he's got a little bit more skill.
They are a better
around
team.
They are statistically.
Three places above them.
Yeah. And I think the Sharks look a lot better than they did last year. So,
oh, absolutely.
You know, you threw Macklin on this team last year. I don't think he's cracking really anything, but this team has some pieces, not a lot. I'm not saying they're Sharks or a wagon, but
yeah,
they are, but they're not.
They're a wagon.
They're a wagon. What am I saying? they're just not this, like, I don't know. It's hard to put blame on this kid. He's 19. Lay off on people. Like, seriously. Yeah.
The other thing I was looking at, we kind of touched on this before we started recording, but he's got 55 shots on net, right? 3 goals.
Yeah.
Last season, he put up 22 goals off 206 shots on net. So his shooting percentage is half of what it was last year. That's a statistical outlier, right? At least what we've seen so far. Mm-hmm. Like, you're going to see that start coming back to normal, especially with somebody who's that good at shooting the puck.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what the NHL average shooting percentage is, but I think it's somewhere around like 8 or 10%. Like, he's going to climb back up there. I don't think it's an issue. It's his second year in the league and the team is still awful. Don't rush him into superstardom. Let him grow. Exactly. And obviously, with guys coming in like Michkov and Celebrini who are succeeding, Celebrini isn't doing quite as well as Michkov right now, but
Michkov's doing great. I'll give him his flowers.
Yeah. It's hard not to compare those guys, but at the same time, it's like
that too. Like,
Michkov
look at
will probably go.
How is like, we can look this up, but how is any other Calder favorite last year doing? Like, how's Brock Faber doing? That guy's getting paid $8 million a year now.
I'd have to see. Let me take a look.
I don't know how that works.
Minnesota's a wagon this year. I was wrong about them being pretenders, I think. he's got 11 points. He's a +9 in 20 games. So he's doing well. Not quite as well as last season.
No, that's what I mean.
A
like,
little
we
bit
can't,
better than last season.
We can't compare Bedard to these rookies. I know Michkov was the same draft class as Bedard, but I don't like looking at it like that, where you're like, because again, this kid has now no expectations. He can go out there. He could go out there and have the same amount of points as Bedard, and people would still be like, oh, wow, look at that. 15
funny
points
enough,
in 21 games, you know?
Funny enough, Michkov has 16 points in 19 games. He's not far off. Yeah.
he just puts the puck in the back of the net. And I think Bedard has a lot of playmaking capabilities. Mm-hmm. So him having 12 assists is still pretty good. I mean, I know his shot is great, but his playmaking has always been pretty good as well. Michkov was just a pure goal scorer. What I've seen, with obviously some, you need to be a playmaker in this day and age, but I think Michkov's definitely more of a solidified shooter, whereas Bedard can kind of play both.
I think he's a better all-around player for sure.
Yeah, I agree. But I think Macklin Celebrini has that two-way game. He's got that 200 feet game Bedard doesn't have. I'm happy.
I agree. Watching Michkov play, or not Michkov, what am I talking about? Watching Macklin Celebrini play the other night, I was kind of blown away by how much he plays in the defensive zone.
Yeah.
Like, you see a lot of like talented offensive players and they don't play much in the D zone, if that makes sense. Like, it's not like they're not trying, but like they're not going into the corners. They're not, you know, coming back when a D man pinches up or whatever happens and growling the puck and moving it up ice. Like, you don't always see that with these highly skilled guys.
Yeah.
That's why I think, especially not with 18-year-olds.
Yeah. Well, that's why I think like the center position is like, people sometimes just throw great players at center and they're like, all right, go do your thing. Like, Bedard would do great on the wing, I think. He'd be fine.
Oh, absolutely. I think he's been playing some on the wing.
Has he? Okay.
I think I saw that because he's, first of all, I don't know if you've seen his faceoff percentage this year. It took McDavid a while to actually become okay at faceoffs, and I think he's still not great, right?
Yeah.
But Bedard this season is winning just under 30% of his faceoffs, which is not good enough at the NHL level.
No, not from a first line center.
You want to get your team the puck off the bat and let them play with the puck. You don't want to be playing in front of the puck. That makes sense.
Yeah. No, totally. So, yeah, I think Bedard, I mean, I think he'll figure it out. He's a generational talent. I'm going to stick by that.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So I think give him some time, and I think he'll be back. I think he'll be back by the second half of the season. And even then, like I'm saying, like he's going to be back. He already is doing great. I think he'll just start putting the puck in the back of the net a little bit more.
Yeah.
But our next piece of news here comes from the Boston Bruins. Again, something that happened like a day after we recorded, but Jim Montgomery, the Bruins fired their head coach, their Jack Adams winning head coach in 2023. They fired him. Blues ended up picking him up 5 days later. And the Bruins right now, looking at the standings, are not doing what they, I think, were hoping for at this point in the season, especially in the Atlantic that they're in. Oh my gosh. Wait. I thought that was lower. They're sitting fifth right now in the Atlantic. And honestly, they got 23 points, but they're only like, 2 points behind the Panthers, who are in second with 25. And this could be, I don't know what they've won the last two games. So I'm sure new coaching change before that, they're probably a little bit lower. But I know they're sitting, actually, I don't even know if they're in the wild card spot anymore. I know they were in the wild card spot at one point, but they fire him. This is a dude who gave them the best regular season of all time. And just to can the guy, I mean, I'm just, what's the first thing that comes to your brain when you saw that trade or that firing?
I thought that was a little ridiculous. They've fired three Jack Adams winning coaches in recent memory now. And it's like the best coaches in the league they don't grow on trees, right?
Yeah.
You have a guy whose system works and you know it works. You somehow made the playoffs last year with a horrible roster, what we thought was a horrible roster. And I think this is just kind of it coming around where that coaching style was working for him, but age and regression is starting to show itself. Mm-hmm. You have Brad Marchand, who is not doing what Brad Marchand has done years past. David Pastrnak is not doing what he's done past seasons. I mean, your third highest point scoring player has 10 points in 22 games. It's Elias Lindholm, your first line center. Like, that's just not good enough.
Yeah.
And I think everyone thought that was going to that drop off was going to happen last year.
Yeah.
It didn't. And this is kind of a culmination of just the team getting worse over the years and it still being a, you know, an old boys club.
Yeah.
And them not willing to let go of guys to help move along the team. And they're dealing with the lack of good drafting. They don't have Matthew Poitras.
He was a pretty good rookie last year, but I want to say he got sent down.
He's got 4 points in 14 games this year, so I'm sure he did. It's just, you look through their roster and there's no bright spots, and it's like, this is kind of what happens when you are good for, you know, 30 years.
Yeah.
But also when you're not willing to tear it down when there's signs that it needs to be torn down, like 2019 was the last time this team was really a contender. They lost to the Blues. I mean, a contender.
Like in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Not during the season.
Not during the season, because this team's been good during the season. But like when you take a look at a roster and you're like, this
team made a deep playoff. Like last time they made a deep playoff run.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Watch me be wrong about that. They went to, I'm just forgetting about some cup final they went to 2 years ago. I don't think so, but.
No, 2019 was the last time they went to the final. But I mean, the past 2 years. Last year, they squeaked by, almost fucked up, but all squeaked by against the Maple Leafs. Get bounced hard by the Panthers. And the year before that, give up that 3-1 lead.
Get dog walked by the Panthers.
Exactly.
It's just one of those things where, like, the Sharks were like this for a while. Sorry to relate everything back to the Sharks. I've been saying since 2016 they need to tear the team down and start trading away players, right?
Yeah.
But you try and keep that, like, competitiveness well past when you should be competitive. The Penguins are going to go through it. They're already going through it. Mm-hmm. The Capitals will at some point go through it once Ovi's gone and they have nobody else to score goals. It's just like they need to tear it down, and I don't think it was really the coaching's fault. I think you trading away, you know, a Jack Adams winning coach every time you go through a bad stretch of games is kind of stupid. So I don't really know what they're doing. I think that team's gonna fall off a cliff here soon. David Pastrnak will probably be gone in 3 seasons.
I think he loves Boston, but I just don't want to see him waste his potential there because they really are like he came up at a bad time when he came up on a great time, but he's in his prime now and he has really nothing around him. The Bruins still have some key pieces, but it's like either start the rebuild. Like, commit or don't commit. Like, you got to pick which way you're going to go, and they're clearly picking to try to win a cup. Yeah. And it's hard to say because, like, they do have some of the pieces. I just don't think that they're as deep as a team to make the playoff run, and they just need to just clean house. And I really think they're just looking to point fingers for what's been going on. And it's unfortunate that the coach really always – kind of takes that blame in that kind of situation. They just are like, well, new coach. So it's we'll just, see if they.
You look at it, you got one of the best. David Pastrnak's one of the best goal scoring wingers in the NHL. He's one of the best wingers in the NHL, period.
Yeah.
The two guys that they've elected to feed him the puck are 36-year-old Brad Marchand and Elias Lindholm.
Yeah.
That's the best you could come up with.
Yeah.
You can't put together a trade for something. Just anybody but Elias Lindholm.
Yeah.
Elias Lindholm's been regressing since that Johnny Hockey, Matthew Tkachuk line broke up.
Yeah.
And you think that's the answer to your problems? It just doesn't make any sense. And it's showing this year. And well worth it. Like,
That's Boston for you, though. I mean.
Yep.
And all their fans are going to complain. They're like, oh, we have it so rough. And it's like, shut the fuck up. You guys had Stanley Cup. You had
six Super Bowls.
Yeah.
Five or six Super Bowls over the last 20 years.
Yep.
Shut up.
A World Series recently. Not recently, but in the last decade, like, they've been blessed. They've had a great team.
NBA titles. Two NBA titles in the last 15 years.
There's one fucking, 6 months ago?
Yeah.
So, don't want to hear it, Boston fans. Get over it. Your team's going to have to rebuild. Boston fans,
you suck.
No, but I mean, that's how I kind of look at it. Well, even again, I hate to relate to the Sharks, but I kind of look at that as a Sharks fan. Like, I have to take my hat off. I know we never won a Stanley Cup, but like, we had some great hockey for 20 years. And, you know, my advice to the Bruins is start while you can. As a pain-induced Sharks fan, start the rebuild ASAP.
Before you turn into the Red Wings.
Exactly.
The Red Wings went through the same exact thing. The Penguins are going to go through the same exact thing. You have 20 years of success. At some point, everyone who is on those successful teams is going to be long gone.
Yeah.
And you can't just keep retooling forever. You have two guys. Charlie McAvoy is also really good.
Yeah.
He hasn't been great this season, but
I think give him this season. See what you can do this season. If you get bounced again in the first or second round, move on. Yeah. Honestly, even if you make a cup run, I don't care. Move on.
It's time.
Because it's not going to last.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, the Blues, we're going to see. I mean, I'm sure the Blues are in a weird spot. I don't think they're going to really, they have nothing.
Yeah.
To be frank, the Blues are
very happy.
They're a shell of a team. They really just don't have anything bright. I look at that roster and I'm like, these are a bunch of misfits, but you know, we've seen crazy things happen, but
yep.
To join the, how we say, original six in some struggles. Pain and suffering struggles, the New York Rangers, Jacob Trouba and Chris Kreider's names were thrown around in a possible trade. Personally, if I was any one of those players, I'd be pissed. Especially your captain, Elbow Man himself. You know, to have your name thrown around like that. And he, I mean, what, didn't he have some stuff last season too?
Yeah, they've been talking about getting rid of him for years. Which,
yeah,
if you're going to get rid of him, get rid of him.
Yeah. Chris Kreider, I have some sympathy for because he's been on that team for, I don't know how long, however long he's been playing. But,
Yeah,
it's just kind of, they're kind of in a similar spot with Boston where they're not having the season they wanted to have coming off. You got the one of the best goalies in the NHL. You've got a great roster, a team that won the President's Trophy last year, and you're imploding. And guess who made these franchises, both of these franchises implode? The Florida Panthers. The Florida Panthers single-handedly ruined both of these franchises. And I'm so happy about it. I'm very happy.
What I find interesting about the Rangers talking about, you know, tearing the team down for some reason or retooling, they're not bad. Mm-mm. They lost today against the Blues. They're 12-7-1. They're well above 500.
Yeah.
You have Artemi Panarin's doing Artemi Panarin things. They have deep scoring. I know people have been saying Mika Zibanejad is awful, right? Which, fair enough. I don't think he's been, I feel like he's always been a player who's kind of been overinflated by just his power play stats, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. But you look at it and it's like they have eight guys that are over half point a game. So Vinny Trocheck has 10 points in 20 games. And you go up the roster, like they have a bunch of guys who are at or around point per game. Why are you talking about tearing it down?
Yeah.
I don't really get it. Yeah, there are a couple of guys on here that I'm looking at. Like Keandre Miller is not doing very well. Ryan Lindgren is not doing very well statistically. But like, talk about trading away your captain. Talk about trading away Chris Kreider, who's stuck with this franchise for years and years and years and years and years of playoff defeat after playoff defeat. It's like, and also Chris Kreider, he has 9 goals in 19 games.
Yeah.
He's got 0 assists, but he's still got 9 goals in 19 games. Like, yeah. It's not like he's been awful. Like, I don't really get that. I think it's something that comes of being a team that's been very, very competitive over the last 20 years.
Yeah.
What, a couple seasons in the playoffs. Yeah. It's like your team's still great. It's so early in the season and you're talking about trading away two very big pieces. Why?
Yeah.
I don't really get that. It makes me happy because I'm not a New York Rangers fan, but
yeah. I mean, that's again, the Panthers have done wonders to the NHL. They tear down the Bruins. Mm. Now tearing down New York. And yeah, like you said, I mean, they're what, 12-6-1. What are the Bruins? The Bruins are 10-9-3, so a little bit more mediocre. But I also think, again, the Eastern Conference is wildly competitive and they have so many teams that are competitive. I mean, you got, even just in the Metro, you got the Devils, Hurricanes, Capitals, Rangers in the top four right now. The Capitals are going to fall off a little bit, missing Ovi, so you can jump that three spot.
I think they've lost two games straight.
Yeah. And I think it's a bit, I think honestly, those names being thrown around is just them being in panic mode because you don't, like, as early as it is, you don't want to fall behind because it just makes the climb back to the top that much harder when it's the end of the season. And that's the last thing you want to do, especially as a solid team like the Rangers are. So ultimately, I understand the paranoia, but I also think it's like, I'd love if they got rid of Trouba. I mean, he's kind of a liability sometimes, but yeah. Just pull the trigger, New York. Do it. Just do it to the Bruins and the Rangers. Just do it. Either yeah. Bruins become rebuilding or go for the cup, and New York, same to you. But I don't think they can even tear it. Like, why would you tear down what you have in New York? You have the best goalie of all time. Not all time. Sorry. Best goalie in the NHL. You got a pretty solid defender in Adam Fox. You got Artemi Panarin. You have so many pieces around you that can help that team just succeed. And I don't know. It's hockey, you know, at the end of the day. But, yeah. I mean, do you really think, like, trading Trouba, would that do anything for them?
Who are you going to get for Trouba? He makes $8 million yeah. a year.
Exactly.
Well, you're going to have to trade him away plus a pick just to get rid of him.
Yeah.
Nobody has that cap space nor wants to take on. Yeah, he's a big physical defender. I'm sure somebody will want Jacob Trouba. But you're either retaining salary on a
yeah.
guy you just signed recently. What was it, like 2-3 years ago they signed him?
Yeah.
And he signed for, I think, 8 years. Who the hell are you going to trade him to that's willing to take on that contract and get value back?
Yeah.
Is it just to clear up cap space? Then again, what's the point? Oh, idea. Sidney Crosby to the Rangers. Thoughts? That light bulb go off right there. I don't want Sid on the Rangers. That would feel way too weird.
No, I don't think he could go to arrive like an original six. It would him on an original 16 would just freak me out. Kind of like when Kane went to the Rangers, even like Kane on the Rangers and the Red Wings.
Yeah.
It just feels a little weird. But I would not advise that for Pittsburgh to take on a fat contract.
I think Sid should go to a small market, you know, kind of coastal team.
Medium
maybe out west.
Market. Medium market. Warm. Yeah. 70 degrees. In and out.
Sunny most of the year. In and out. Sunny
most of the year.
I don't think Sid would eat in and out.
No, he wouldn't. He wouldn't.
Just a thought.
I don't know. I don't even know what team comes to mind when you say those things, but if a team fit that category, I would tell them to do it. Maybe someone you could mentor to turn into like you were.
Exactly. Strong two-way player, guy who just got drafted first overall. There's some guys that come to mind, right?
Yeah.
Maybe just one guy who comes to mind.
First overall picks in a medium-sized market, medium to small-sized market with good weather. On the coast. Yeah, there's a couple
and
teams.
A lot of cap space. There's
and a lot of cap
teams.
Space. Yeah. I don't know. A team's not coming to mind yet, but if you guys think of one, I mean, just if the Penguins are listening, you know, if any teams fit that criteria, I think you should trade Sidney Crosby there. But
that's a fact.
Yeah. And it's a team that's a bit of a wagon right now. I think honestly, yeah. Speaking of Sid, he has hit 600 goals in his career.
He can no longer hit it with Ovi, like we were saying.
If they had made this trade a couple weeks ago, it might have prevented the injury too.
That's a fact. Butterfly effect.
Mm-hmm. Because that trade, like, exactly. Like, Ovi might not have been on the ice at that same point. Exactly. So we could have prevented this Ovi injury.
Yeah.
And you guys just didn't want to listen to us. So,
tisk, you know, come on.
I'm taking that to the grave with me. I will constantly say, you know, if Ovi doesn't break this record, I'm blaming it on the fact that they didn't trade for Sid.
That is a fact. That's a fact.
Yeah, it is. It's not, it's a theory. I mean, it can't be proven. Can't be proven. It also can't be unproven. So,
yeah.
Sorry, guys. Last thing on here. Nashville Predators.
Still, they lost again tonight.
They did? Oh, my God.
They lost to the Devils 5-2.
Yikes. They're not in complete
makes
last.
Makes me happy.
Oh, they're tied with the Sharks right now, 17 points. It's
tied with the Sharks, but guess who didn't spend like $20 million a year in the offseason last season?
I think the team with a medium-sized market on the Cubs. I think a team that could hold Sidney Crosby would be a team that fits that criteria to me. Just me.
All I'm
just
saying, it's a good idea.
I think
watch
so
him
too.
Go sign with Nashville. He's going to get traded to Nashville for like Jonathan Marchessault and a third.
That would be nuts. Some
stupid trade
That'd
like
stupid.
That.
Stupid. Yeah.
One for one Stamkos. This is ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, the Sharks play the Kings right now. So maybe they can steal a point in overtime like they have been and possibly
shootout
jump
loss,
ahead of them.
Maybe.
Yeah. I'm happy with those, honestly. I don't really care.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
But we have reached the point in the episode where we're going to talk about the San Jose Sharks. So if you listened and don't want to hear us be delusional, thanks for joining us. But if you do want to stick around and stay, welcome. Welcome to the delusion. We saw Askarov get his start against the Blues. Underwhelming start. He's gross, but they didn't get the win. So. I didn't really watch it, so I don't know. We lost. That's all I saw. And I saw that he's potentially going back down to the AHL.
He started tonight.
Oh, he is.
I know that. Okay. He's starting tonight.
I take back what I said.
He let in a brutal first goal in the Sharks uniform. I don't know if you saw that. I don't know if you saw the replay.
No.
Skates out behind the net, goes to pass it out, passes it straight to Blues player, and gets fed to the front of the net, tapping.
That's the kind of highlight that people show when a goalie is a legend, and they go back to look at their first one of their first goals they get scored on. That's the kind of goal they give up. Just like Macklin's little tap-in goal he had. That's one of those goals. Like you see that from everyone has some crazy first goal in the NHL, and that's his. Yep. And most of those players are legends now. You can look at Connor McDavid's first goal, and it's pretty fluky. So I think the same thing with Askarov.
You're not going to save every shot, right? No. You know you're going to get scored on at some point. Mm-hmm. Why not let it be the first goal, or first shot of the game, right?
Exactly.
Fluky get out of the play, way. Skate out of the net. It's not going to happen every game. Just get it out of the way, get the nerves, get the butterflies off, and you're ready to go. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
And he played well the rest of the game. I think he stopped 29 of 31 shots and then let in one shootout goal. The Sharks just continue to not be able to score a single goal in the shootout.
Yeah.
I can't tell you if they've scored. I can't tell you if they've scored in the shootout.
Oh, Sharks just scored. Nico Sturm.
Oh, speaking of, all right, let's plan the parade.
Hang the banner. Hang the banner.
Let's go. Hang the banner.
That's
already.
It. There we
right
go.
Right up next to Jumbo.
Sharks scored the first goal versus the LA Kings on November 25th.
We're not quite as bad as Nashville. That's something they'd do.
That is something they would do. And we
Askarov got an assist.
Oh, look at that. He's getting speaking apples of, too.
So listen, first game, he turns the puck over, first shot goal, right? Mm-hmm. Second game, first shot for the Sharks, Askarov apple, playmaking goalie. Thoughts?
Playmaking goalie. He's going to come for Wayne Gretzky's record.
Oh, I wonder who, I want to say it's Martin Brodeur has the record for most points as a goalie.
How many does he have? I think he has more points. No. I was going to say, I think he has more points than Biz. I think he does.
Yeah, he does. I know that. There's a few guys. Tom Barrasso has 48 points. Martin Brodeur had 47.
Damn.
Which I find hilarious. He's a playmaker. Like, that's a good season if you think about it for a player. Yeah.
Wow,
if I put up 48 points, if I put up 48 points in my NHL career as like a forward, I'd be ecstatic.
Yeah, honestly,
I'd be
that's
so pumped.
I'd be bragging about it at the beer league games.
Absolutely.
Or as a coach, whatever. I'd be bringing it up every time when I tell those kids to get on the line.
The leader of active goalies is Fleury. He's got 22 points.
That makes sense.
Jonathan Jonathan 22. Quick's got 21.
Ooh.
Great Quickie. Stat. Anyways, the Sharks are nasty. Askarov's going to be gross. Mm-hmm. They're up 1-0.
Yeah.
The Kings suck.
The Kings suck.
My life Kings is good.
Are third in the Pacific, which yeah, also the Flames. They're
actually bad.
No, they're not. Shout out Galley. The Flames are actually doing pretty well this year. Dustin Wolf, yeah. I think, is a Calder favorite right now. He's Absolutely. Got my vote outside of Mac because he has less games played. Okay. And also Matvey Michkov is Russian, so not going to give him any flowers, but no, yeah, Dustin Ruski. Wolf, sneaky Calder pick. Not even sneaky. I mean, he's playing great. If you guys haven't listened to that episode, go check it out. It's on our, actually not this YouTube. It's on Settle Down's YouTube. So down below, you can click on that. And yeah, that pretty much wraps it up for this week in hockey. We got a great week. Shout out again to Jumbo. This episode is dedicated to him and his wonderful career he had. Anyone listening to this point, make sure you go follow our Instagram. You're locked in on us. You are a true fan if you're at this point of the episode. So go ahead, follow us on Instagram. Subscribe on YouTube. Make sure you are wherever you're listening to us. Doesn't matter where. And we will see you guys next week. Peace.
Peace.